And you have some strong views on fatherhood.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Please, take the floor.
I gotta say, I posted some things on social media, and people got angry at me. And what I said was that there are some things that only a father can give you, okay? Now, people went, wait, my mama gave me all that. I said, hold up. And this is what I believe. I believe this from my heart. You know, we care more about organic food than we do organic people. There are things that you need from your father. Mm-hmm. Your father starts out, he gives you your name. Listen.
Like in Lion King?
Like in Lion King. If you ever watch Lion King, it happens.
Oh,
he gives you your name. He tells you who you are. That is the point. And the second thing he gives you is your inheritance. Now, that doesn't mean money. You inherit his story. You understand what I'm saying? When you have an inheritance, it's more than that. It's your father's story. Whatever your father was, whatever belongs to you. The third thing that your father gives you is your security. Mm-hmm. And what I mean, and I'm not talking about just, you know, protection and the whole thing, which that it does include. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about your confidence. Because when your father tells you can do something, you believe you can do it. That's the truth.
I'm a single mother. I'm a single mother. I can guarantee you I can give Evan every one of those things also.
I think that what Terry is talking about is when a man is in there and he's doing it the right way, when you got a mother and a father, because of course when you're talking about single motherhood, we have to do that. But when you're talking about a man and the family, what I appreciate about a father, because I think you do need a father and a mother, and I think there are things that a father can do that a mother can't. Like, fathers are able to see, the tears don't bother a man as much. Like, there's a way, my friend Bone Hampton, who has this son, he's raising him beautifully, and I have my son. That boy will cry, and Bone will say, get up, wipe it up, you can do it. Me with Jeffrey, he starts crying, I'm like, what's going on, baby?
Yes.
From mothers. I'm just saying that
I
just...
You are. And let me tell you why. Because this idea, and it's a wonderful idea. It's a great idea. But you are taken from mothers, because the mothers whose husbands maybe have died. You know, it's tough enough to raise...
Let me finish. You still get that from your father.
No. Listen, I was raised by a single mother, and the story I got from my dad was, you're kind of on your own, babe. That's the story I got.
Right.
What I got from my mother was, you may be on your own, but you're not alone. That's what I got. And yes, your father gives you lots of things, but I think you...
You mentioned as a single mom, I see in Evan every single thing. He's such a confident little boy. But I've also managed to kind of imitate what a man does.
Offices are full of people who discover this later in life. You need to find father. He may not be there. See, understand, Stallone was a father to me. Mm-hmm. On Expendables. Mm-hmm. He gave me my name. He told me who I was. He said, you're an action star. He gave me an inheritance. Stallone's story is now my story.
He gave me my security,
because when the studio said, maybe we need somebody else, Sly stepped in and he became my security. If you don't have a father, you can pick one. It is your choice.
Sometimes you gotta look up to Bill Cosby.
Watch Everybody Hates Chris and watch Julius. Let that be your dad.
I like that.
I think, when you're a single mom, a child comes from two, and I think there are wonderful things that there's things that you can't give a child that your wife can give.
I think we're not taken away from either one of them. I can't hold a baby. Listen, the mercy that a mother gives.
Wait, what did you just say? I mean, I can't conceive a baby.
I can't have a baby. Yeah. There are certain things that men can't do, certain things women can't do.
I have to say this because you said only a father, and one of them is this confidence. So are you saying that Evan he can't get confidence now?
What I'm telling you is that a man has got to give him his security somewhere in his life.
Terry, if you're talking about, I get what you're saying, but if you're talking about there's a woman who's raising her child, she's got to instill that confidence in her son because there's no man around. So I'm not telling Jeffrey to be finding
I'm not discounting mothers, but he will be in secure until he finds one. Every person can find one.
That is the not. Evan is the most confident.
Okay. He's
awesome,
not grown yet.
Kid.
But what you, but wait, so the thing that I do agree with is there are people out there who can help you get where you need. I do believe in that. But I'm of the mind that in the world in which we live in now, we all have to instill all of those things. Like, I feel like I gave you your name when I came to Everybody Loves Chris because I told you you was brilliant.
It's true. No, wait. But you were my, you are mom. I'm not lying to you. Whoopi, I look at you as a mom to me in this business.
Seriously?
I'm serious. And I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with looking at a person like a father?
But you know what? When we were talking to the audience and we're talking about fathers being in there for our sons, and we talk about this, being a single mom, you know, when you're a single mom, you got to be that. But there's a great majority of women who are single moms who don't want to be single moms.
Right.
They want a man in there helping them. I'm not saying every mother. There's a lot of women who are single moms who want that.
I also want to say to all of you gay women who are raising children and sons, just be aware that what I think we've decided that Terry is saying is that make sure there is a guy figure for them to talk
to.
I think that's what.
You need a man. A man needs to be here somewhere.
Somewhere in
there. As an example.
They can do a lot.
First of all, I thought that was a good demographic of people there on The View, and I think that's part of why that they try for that on The View, that there's a good demographic there of different kinds of people and different backgrounds. Whoopi, coming from the being raised by a single mom and still angry about dad, you know, and that came into play very obviously in that interchange. Cause you have to, they do have to have a man in their life somewhere. As a daughter, I had to have, there has to be both. God brought that balance into, he meant for that balance to be there for a man and a woman to raise children. That is the ideal. That is what God had in mind. That does not always happen. And since they left God out of the equation, God puts the solitary in family. I was raised by a single mom. I tried, and you know, there are so many variables, so many different things that you have to deal with, and you can't deal with it in that setting. There are just too many things. As a child, battled with so many different views and having to, how am I going to handle not having had dad there? God was faithful in that he came into my life. I was 12 years old, and just before dad left, before they separated, I see the faithfulness of God in that. But then he also put me in. I had my uncle, my mom's sister's husband, until I left for school, and then I met Chris, and then he put me in another family again. And I consider my father-in-law my dad, because he was more, he had been God's image of what a dad should be in my life. So it brought healing. I was able to let go of my dad, forgive him, and try to create some kind of relationship with him. And for those who, and I believe that's what God will do for those who don't have both, he will heal that person. He will put you in family so that you can be healed, so that you can be healthy and raise a healthy family.
Anybody else? Come on, take the mic. Great discussion. All points of view are welcome. Looking at your faces, and you're like, I got something to say. I just don't want to get up there and say it. Okay, I'll let you pass the mic. I won't make you get up then. How about that? You can sit in your seat and still make your comment. Oh, you laugh. That means you got to do it.
Oh, no.
It's like the kid in class who goes, all right.
I agree with Pastor Carol because in this generation, fathers, men, their role in society is being demonized and reduced to nothing. It's like we're just, I hate to use this term, but like castrating men. Yeah. And their role in society, their very being, who they are, their purpose for which God created them. And it just seems like anytime you try to bring up the true role of a man in the lives of a family or children, I'll give you a good example. At my father's funeral, at the end of the funeral, we went to, you know, after the funeral, we went to eat. Some of my family saw me serving my husband. The comment that was made, why are you doing that? Hi, girl, how long you been married? Well, that ain't gonna continue for long. That is the comment that was made. All because I chose to serve my husband. With that being said, I understand even more importantly how like the feminist movement and all these other things have affected our mindset, especially as women, thinking that we don't need men, we can be independent of men. Just like the one woman that kept saying, well, I can't instill confidence in my child. Oh, da, da. I'm like, well, it takes two to tango. A child didn't get here by themselves. So obviously there is a purpose and there's something that that child needs from both parents, not just one. So in my eyes, it just further, I don't know, it just further adds to the mindset in today's like culture of how people view men and their role in society. It didn't shock me.
Yeah, I've seen that when someone makes a statement like this guy did, Terry Crews, he's a father needs to instill security, then the statements that men, when a man says it, we live in a society now where many, many women take it as an accusation. Yes. So she took it as if though he was accusing her, yes, of not instilling confidence. That's not what he was saying. He was just simply saying, I know what my role is. Yes. So of course the roles cross. There is no the husband does this, the wife does this, the mom does this, the dad does, because every relationship and marriage is different. The personalities are different. But I just know, just for instance, the way me and my wife process life is differently, is very different. Women tend to connect things going on, you know, so whatever is said, you connect it to your mother, your mother-in-law, your boss, your children. So you know, one phrase gets said, you guys connected, and guys don't do that. If I'm talking about one subject, I'm talking about one subject. If I'm talking about my boss, I'm not talking about the co-workers and you and the children and the bus driver and the maintenance people and the check. I'm not talking about all of that. But you guys connect all of that. Now, what am I getting at? When we raise our children, we're coming from those two different points of view. So that's why women, when you're talking to your children, you're trying to help them make connections. That when somebody says this, it means this, and it means this, and it means this, and you got to know this person's going to connect, and how all of the things that they do are going to affect more than just themselves. Men bring the, okay, focus. Let's talk about this. Let's deal with this. It's not that the two don't ever cross. Sometimes men do help children connect. Sometimes women do say, focus. You got to get this area right. But the issue is, even when we do,
across roles, you're still coming at it from a particular point of view and from a particular way in which men process and the way women process. Why am I saying this? Because children need both. And they can, and what tends to happen is if there's only one parent, they're being raised by only one perspective. It's not that the perspective is wrong. It's just that it's all top heavy on one perspective. So it's like lifting up weights. You go, you know, one, it's all the weights on one side. So the child ends up strong and able to do things, but they're one-sided. So that's why you've seen people, yeah, children can still turn out to be very successful. On Mother's Day, I played you guys the video of Kevin Durant's speech to his mother. The guy's an NBA superstar, calling his mom an MVP. So it doesn't mean your child won't have confidence and won't be successful. But I guarantee you that every coach, coaches, men, mentors, male figures were in his life to instill something in him that his mother could not, because she was in survival mode. That's where many moms and grandmothers have been. They've just, I'm doing what I have to do. They didn't ask for this circumstance. They didn't want to be in this circumstance, so they're surviving. And some of them have survived very well. But here's the other part. Because so many women have had to do that, it is affecting them. It does affect their body. It affects them physically. They find themselves getting sick, getting older and sicker faster than they would have if that partner had been there helping them carry the load. It's the reason why you see a number of women in their 50s and 60s who have been single moms who have a lot of health challenges, a lot of health issues. Why? Because they've been carrying everything by themselves. So that's not an accusation. The guy was making, I call it an observation. Not an accusation. So first of all, when you talk about Father's Day, the first thing we have to do is not take everything that's said as if though it's an accusation against women. I still have to be able to say, I'm a dad. I'm a father. Here's the other one. I'm a man. It's okay for guys to say, I'm a man. All of that. Yes. I mean, that's just how it is. You can put a bunch of girls playing in a room by themselves, and there's talking, and everybody's talking all at the same time. Words, talking, expressing, and laughing, and then they'll get a fight, and then there'll be two fighting against one, and, you know, because I've heard when girls have to play, you need even numbers, because if it's an odd number, somebody's going to be left out, because that's just the dynamics of women's world. So talking and playing and all kinds of stuff going on. If you put a bunch of boys in a room, there isn't hardly a word said. What you going to hear? Tumble, tumble, rough pipe. Hardly no words. There'd be a few words in there. I got you. No, you dead. I got you. I shot you. No, you didn't. Oh, and then more. Two different dynamics. And we grow up that way. People say that, you know, they got all these child experts I don't know where they're connecting these things when they say we socialize our children a certain way. I don't socialize them. All I know is when we had our three, they came here that way. They come here with these attitudes and these feelings and these expressions. There ain't nothing you can do about it. That's just who this person is. I didn't make my son say, you have to fight. I didn't say to them, don't cry. I don't know. No, they come here a certain way. So we're not socializing them. We're not trying to make them be men or make girls be girls. No, they come here with a certain attitude, a certain disposition, a certain personality. And so as a parent, the Bible instructs parents to raise our children in the way they should go. Now, many times because of incorrect biblical teaching, we thought, many have taught that means you make them go to church. you make them do this and you make them do that and you make them and you make them. And if you, when they get older, then they won't depart from it. And that's not what that means. What that scripture actually means is you raise the child according to their personality, according to their temperament, according to their ability, according to their level of how much they can take. You raise them according to the aspirations that are in them. Me and my wife take it the next step. You raise them according to the word of the Lord that's been spoken concerning their life. When you pray for your children, then God's going to speak to you and tell you little things about your children. So you raise them according to the way they should go, the way God has fashioned them. That's how you raise them. That's why the Bible tells fathers, don't exasperate your children. What does that mean? Don't put stuff on them that they can't handle. Don't try to steer them in a direction that's not according to how they've been made and how they've been fashioned. You will exasperate them because you're trying to make them be something that they're not. You're trying to make them do something that they can't do. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. If it's a boy, he can't handle no baby. See, I hate it when people throw scriptures at stuff. They can do anything. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. No, all things don't mean everything. All things means they can do all of the things that God has determined for them to do and for them to be. That's what the all is. They can't do everything because nobody can do everything. That's, I hope you're getting some balance today. God didn't even create us that way. So we come at life very differently, just as men and women. So it's important. That's why, as my wife said, it's important, let's see it the way God intended for it to be. Sometimes we like to start with where the way things are, and that's how that conversation kind of went. Let's start with the reality. The reality is my dad wasn't there. So in today's world, what we do is, because that's my reality, then we change the definitions of everything. We change the parameters of everything. We change the boundaries of everything because my life was this way. Now, the problem with that is when you raise a child without parameters, without boundaries, without sure and unchanging definitions, then you end up with what we have today, and that's children going into schools, stabbing their classmates, shooting their classmates and teachers. Why? Because they live in a world without boundaries, without sure definitions. Because our generation, those of us in our 30s, well, I say 40s and over, our generation have refused the boundaries because our dads weren't there. Then we say, you don't need a dad. If a husband left, then women tend to say, then I don't need a man. All I, and then we get real spiritual in church. All I need is the Lord. And he didn't intend for us to get that deep with it. Otherwise, let me put it to you this way. Otherwise, God himself would not have come into this world. The word became flesh. And the Bible says, and the word dwelt among us, because we need to see the expression of the Lord in human form. And that's what a father represents. Fathers are an expression of God's love in human form. So when you reject it, then something's going to be missing. One year, many years ago, back when my wife and I were youth pastors, I was invited to be a guest on a television show, bring my sons on, and it was for Father's Day. So they proceeded to ask my sons some of their memories with their dad. And so my sons start telling them all about the times that dad disciplined them. So I'm thinking, we had just recently taken them to Six Flags, and I was known for for surprising them to come home, and I say, let's go to Toys R Us, and I just take them to go get games and stuff. So I'm thinking they're gonna tell this, they're gonna tell the Toys R Us stories. They're gonna tell the story time dad took them to Six Flags, and the only thing they could think of, my wife always reminds me, they were nervous and everything in the moments, but the only thing that pops into their heads was they remember all the times that dad gave them, punished them, dad gave them a whooping, I'm like, oh Lord, they're gonna send Division of Family Services after this thing goes on the air. Because the only thing my children can remember is the times that dad disciplined them. They can't remember none of the good things that I've done. None of it. Just couldn't remember none of it on the spot. So I left that interview. I was sick. I was so depressed. Sick. I'm like, my children, with all the things I've done for them, and they can't remember anything that I've done for them. And I'm depressed, y'all. I'm sitting there, getting in a mood. And you know how God is. God is so faithful to come to you in times like that. And I'm thinking, God, you think God would come and comfort me in a time like that. But God treated me like a father in that moment. And here is what father did. See, because mother aspect may have said, come on, it's okay. They, like my wife did, they just couldn't think in the moment. They was nervous, and that's the only thing that came to their mind. Here's how father came at me. That's the same way you are towards me. Just wiped all out my mood, because it was right. He said, there are things I've done for you, and you don't remember. You take it for granted. He opened up my eyes to see in that moment that part of the reason why we struggle with describing fatherhood, because a lot of fatherhood has to do with things that God prevents and protects, and we don't see it. A lot of fatherhood is preventive maintenance. It's stuff to get our children ready for things to come. It's not that moms don't do it, but that's a lot of the focus of what fatherhood is about. It's almost like this. Father thinks it and mom implements it. You're thinking, boy, I really need to get these kids thinking about it. Next thing you know, we always had, then my wife, next thing I know, my wife is doing it. She's making them clean up stuff and do things. And I just had the thought that it's time for them to start learning how to make up their own beds and wash the dishes. And mom starts implementing it. All I did was think about it. And so here you are looking at the very image of God being displayed. Now, one of my spiritual daughters is just the opposite. You know, it's her husband is the one. I mean, he comes in, clean up this, clip that. I mean, he comes through like a tornado. Stop this, clean up this. And he tells the kids, if you don't want to hear my mouth, then have the house clean when I get home. That's how we solve that. You get tired of dad talking, then clean up the house. Then you don't have to hear me. But what am I saying? It's still two sides. The kids are getting it from two sides. And so let me continue with my story. So here's God telling me, this is the same way you are towards me. You forget the things that I've done. And so from that, I wrote this little song, because I was always writing songs, but it really helped me to get the point of what God was saying to me. And I want to read these lyrics to you, because it really describes fatherhood in a lot of ways. Because this is what came out of God telling me, that's the same thing, same way you are towards me. You forget and you take for granted. fatherhood is a whole lot about presence. Presence. It's not even that a whole lot of dads, because of course it just depends upon personalities. There are some dads who are very talkative and very demonstrative, and they do a lot. They're very much involved. And there are other fathers who can lead just as strongly without saying very much. Depends on personality. And that's why we all struggle with how do you define fatherhood. And so the Lord has kind of narrowed it down to this for me. It's a whole lot about presence. Just the being there. And it's just that we don't have any idea as to what the dynamics are that are happening when a father is there. Because think about it. There can be a man who's living there, but he's not really there. Fatherhood has a lot of intangibles on it. It has a lot of emotions and feelings on it. But we can't necessarily say, here's what a father is. Here's what a father does. Because just like these women pointed out on The View, well, I do the same thing. So then it starts sounding like you're taking away from motherhood by talking about fatherhood. But you're not taking away from motherhood by talking about fatherhood. Just like on the flip side, if we start talking about all the things that mothers do, then believe me, there's a whole lot of fathers who are like, well, I do that. So how come they get the cards? I do all the same stuff that she does. Because a lot of what fatherhood is about is presence. Here's the word. There's so much I take for granted, like the rising of the sun. Every time I see the morning, I'm never thankful for the dawn. See, that's fatherhood. A father who's always there with the same things every day, so consistent and so expected that sometimes I forget to say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, for the blue that's in the sky. Thank you, Daddy, for the light that's in your eyes. Thank you, Daddy, for the life beat I've been handed. Talking about heart beating every day. Well, think about it. It's just there. That's fatherhood. And please forgive me for taking you for granted. There's so much you're always doing. You watch my life and keep me safe. Sometimes you throw in extras, giving me a little bit more grace. You take the time to listen when all I bring are complaints. You carry me on your shoulders and you sing to me in the rain. Thank you, Daddy. See, this is fatherhood. I had to point it all to God to help us understand that's what God intended for fathers to be. That element in the home that you're doing your job so well that nobody even notices until it's not there. That's what fatherhood is. It's not even noticed until it's missed. And that's why discussions like what we just looked at are so painful. If you think fatherhood is not a big deal and the men are not a big deal, then I can tell you, man, Facebook has just been lit up all weekend long with discussions on father. Somebody put up a posting and it said, women, please don't get on, you know, don't start talking all about how you both a mom and a dad. Please let the men have their day. Because, and they went on to say, because there's so many good fathers, don't use Father's Day as the day to complain about the deadbeat. Right. That's right. Honor the ones who are doing it. It's not taking away from any single mom to simply acknowledge the men who are trying. It's a painful, painful subject because it's so hard to define. And God had to help me, even as a father, getting upset with my kids for not recognizing all I've been and all I've done. But when you growing up, and that was their experiences. They were just growing up in the house. They didn't know anything about the bills that were being paid on their behalf. And they were sleeping in beds that me and my wife had worked and paid for. They didn't know all of the times that I saw somebody put up a video. Oh, they got a run in a commercial right now where they showed his dads that snatched their kids out of danger at just the last second. Anybody seen those commercials? That's fathers. It's not that mothers never do it. But that's fatherhood. That's what fatherhood is about. There's some things that sometimes you ever catch yourself saying, Lord, I thank you for protecting me. What's the old school way? We used to say, God, thank you for protecting me from dangers seen and unseen. That's father. There are some things that fathers do. It's unseen. So that's why we can't define it. Is it that mothers never do it? No, it's not that mothers never do it. But it's something that's missed. I went on to say, I can always recall the discipline you gave, all the nights you spent with me, and past that you have paid. You'll give me more love tomorrow than all of my yesterdays. That's God. So please forgive me, Daddy. I never take the time to say thank you. And that's what Father's Day is supposed to be about. A day to say, okay, I really haven't paid it that much attention a lot. But Dad, thank you. We said thank you to the moms first. And then we say thank you to dads. But we live in a world, just as you pointed out, Tracy, where there's so much male hatred. It's not just fatherhood hatred, it's male hatred. That any acknowledgement of anything that a man does gets taken as pulling something away from the woman. But I showed you this picture, this image here on purpose. God intended that men and women be equal. It was the fall through sin that caused there to be a separation between male and female. And for a setup to have to be where God had to set the man as head, it was part of the curse that was spoken and pronounced as punishment for their disobedience. God said to the woman, and from this point on, your desire shall be for him. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a curse for a woman to desire a man. I just say that now because some of the gay community is using this scripture to say, here's the reason why lesbianism is okay, because the Bible says that this is part of the curse that a woman will have a desire for her husband. No, what it means is, what that scripture meant was, she'll have a desire for that position and for that place to be in control. Because they used to share it equally, face to face. God intended for us to be, to our children, just two sides of the same coin. Two different ways of looking at the same life. That's what he intended for it to be. That's why our children, you know, they can tell when your parents are really hooked up and on one accord and y'all flowing together, because I know we had this, one child goes to the parent and asks, can I do such and such? And they hate it when fathers do this, especially go ask your mother. Why? Because we together on this. And how many of you have experienced this? Some of the biggest fights in the family come when the parents are not in agreement, and one person says the child can do this, and the next person says the child can't do it, and it upsets the whole house. Why? Because at that point, we're not face-to-face in agreement, and the child is getting a distorted picture of what this is really supposed to be. God intended for us to be equal, walking together as one. Walking together as one. And from two different points of view, two different perspectives, we lead out in our family. So our reality has been the X-ing out of the man because so many men deserted, so many men abdicated. But here's some of the other things. What about the women who are single and it wasn't their choice? There's disease, there's death. She didn't intend to have to do this by herself. Everything from divorce to desertion to death have destroyed families. And I believe that it's very important for us to keep going back to God's definition of family. Let's get back to God's meaning. That's where our safety is going to be. It's not going to become by let's redefine the role of men and women because of my personal experience. Let's get back to what God says and let's live it that way. Bless the Lord. Are you good today? Come on, gang. Thank the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Happy Father's Day. Wow. I hope that this was enlightening for you today. And I trust that the Lord was able to use this to speak to you today. Any other comment or word before we go? She's got the microphone. Pass the mic. Yes, sir.
I just had a question. I was looking at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. And I'll just read it.
Yes.
The second part of verse 1. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. He blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. So it says he made him in the likeness of God and he created them male and female.
Yeah.
So does that mean, you know, that there's parts of the nature of female and male, you know, in the nature of God?
Yeah, I've heard many people describe that. The issue is that we struggle as human beings with what it really means to be male and female. The Hebrew words were ish and ishta. Mm. And God is really talking about these two expressions of himself that he put in the earth. Now, in our finite, limited minds, we tend to, we live in a world that's trying to merge the two so that we end up with this unisex mentality. But God intended for there to be clear distinction, even though he called them man. And I used to always point to that scripture, and sometimes I would confuse people. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the scriptures that was floating in my head while I was talking earlier, giving that description. That did you know from Genesis 5, they were called man. He made them male and female, but they were not called Adam and Eve until after they sinned. And then they'd receive two distinct names. It was after the fall.
Right.
Because even when God came to them in the cool of the day, the Bible says, God said, Adam, where are you? And he was referring to both of them because they shared one name. They were so much one, even though they were two distinct, male and female. Now, the Bible tells us the reason for God making them male and female was to bring glory to him, to be an expression of later on Christ and the church, to procreate, to mirror the image of God here in the earth. And so God is spirit. Spirit isn't either male or female. It just is. There's no gender in spirit. There's no, as Jesus even told some of the religious folks, there is no marriage and giving in marriage and all of that once we leave this earth realm. So for some reason, it's one of those theological things that I don't know if I can answer. I don't know why God chose to express mankind in male and female. All we can see is that he said it's not good for man to be alone. And that word for alone didn't just simply mean by himself. It actually is a was the joining of two words, all one. It's not good for man to be all one, alone. So therefore, if we know the story, God caused a deep sleep to come upon him. We read it in the King James Version. It says God took a rib. We go into the Hebrew language, the word is actually cell. God took a cell from the man's side and built a female. Isn't that awesome? So ladies, I want you to understand that when guys are talking about you and say, man, she stacked, she built, that's what the Bible actually says. It actually means he built a woman. Wakes the man up. He looks at her and goes, wow! You're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You shall be called womb man. And I've always wondered, well, how did he know she had a womb? Because whole nother level of human being, perfect discernment. Absolute perfect discernment. Why you say he had perfect discernment? Because he had just named every single animal on the planet. We were operating at a level that we can't fathom now. Where the male man could look at a being and call it what it is just by looking at it. Such discernment. You were talking about earlier today, how you're talking about how dogs can look at a person and just only like discern, I don't like you. And that's just an animal. Can you imagine how human beings were when God first created us before the fall, full function of our brain and our spirit and everything joined with God and being able to just look at something and name it. So he was operating in that. God brings something that came from him, flesh that God built. He looks at it and goes, you should be called womb man. That's what woman is, womb man. He knew exactly who she was, why she was created, all of it. And that's what that guy, Terry Crews, was alluding to about the role of fathers, the ability to give you your name. Mm-hmm. I can discern and see who you are, and I can call it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? I hope I'm answering your question in all kinds. I'm probably answering more than you asked. But there is no male-female in God. God chooses to express or chose to express himself in this way, male and female in the earth. Because we're the only ones that carry the image of God. And so the reason why you see me hesitant, because there are people who are trying to call God she. So if I start saying things like, well, there's a feminine side of God and there's a masculine side of God, then that opens up the doors for this calling God a female. He, she, it, female. There really are people that are doing that now. They're referring to God as she. There's so much emphasis on male bashing that they don't even want to call God he. That doesn't mean God is masculine. It means that God has chosen to express himself this way. To help us in our finite minds, because God is infinite. His thoughts way higher than our thoughts. His ways way higher than our ways. It's difficult for me as a pastor to even try to describe it. I'm trying to use earthly terms for infinite, infinite understanding. You know, we're still all trying to figure out, how can God be three and one at the same time? Well, that's because our minds are finite. The finite mind says one plus one plus one is three. And that's because one is finite, one is finite, one is finite. You put three finites together and it means three of them. But God is infinite. So infinite plus infinite plus infinite equals what? Infinite. That's how the infinite God can be three infinites and yet one infinite, because he's still one. Woo! And it messes up our minds. And so only thing I can repeat to you is what his word says. In his word, he created us male and female. We once shared one name. They were called Adam. You just read it. Yeah. They were called man. They were called Adam. And after they fell, then the male start calling the woman Eve, because they were separated. They were separated by sin. And then God sent a promise. That's the good part. God says, I'm going to send a promise. I'm sending a Savior. It's going to come through mankind. I'm sending a Savior. He's coming through mankind. He's going to bruise that. He's going to crush the serpent's head. The serpent's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. But God chose a way for mankind to increase, and that was through the coming together of male and female. Don't know why he chose it that way. Have no idea. This gets into the really deep philosophical, theological renderings of universe and knowledge and information, that such knowledge is too high. I cannot attain it. I just know that he did it this way. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. I hope this has made some sense for you today. I use a lot of general terms in describing father and mother, and so many households have been so differently. You know, me and my wife, we're not the typical couple either. You know, you come to my house and my wife is Tim the Tool Man Taylor. She's the one that fixes stuff, not me. It's not me, it's her. So that whole typical thing of, you know, the guys, my wife has the tools. every tool, ladder, drill, hammer, everything in the house, didn't know none of it belonged to me. It's all hers. So that's why there are certain things that I've said that are generalizations. It may not be true in your household because men and women are different. Upbringings are different and all of that. But I still believe that God intended for there to be two different expressions in front of our children so that they grow up balanced. Yeah, because by the time they hit the teenage years, and that's where it's going to come out. I got some spiritual daughters. I'm always talking about our daughters. And when their sons in particular hit those teenage years, they desperately wanted a man in the house. They wanted a man to deal with, this buddy. And so like the young lady saying, my son, he's so confident. And he's so, okay, wait until he's 13. I can't even say 13, 11. Around 11, you'll see what I'm talking about. That's what that guy was trying to say. He's saying, you can find, there's some male that your children will need in their life. They will need some male somewhere. The guys and the girls, they will, you do, because it takes both. I saw that, and I don't know if you guys saw what I saw, Whoopi didn't understand what he meant until he said, you were a mother to me. Then she got it. Oh, you're saying that they just need to have a male. And yeah, that's all I'm saying. Just like I needed to have you as a woman to be a mother for me, I needed some man. And it, when he, the reason why he was referring to Stallone, you guys know he's talking about Sylvester Stallone. He became that for me. Now, she kept trying to point to, well, you were already a star before you met Stallone. But the point is, he was saying, I didn't know that. We're not, so she was missing the point. It's not that our kids aren't confident. It's not that they aren't good and talented. And it's not that. But for some reason, it takes both males and female telling you. How many of you have had this experience? I had this a lot with our young ladies in our church. Their mothers were always telling them that they were pretty and that you're beautiful and that you're strong. But the girls would take it as, yeah, that's just you, Mom. Of course you're going to say that. You're my mother. That's what you're supposed to say, Mom. As they reach those years, 10, 11, 12, 13, well, yeah, Mom, you always say I'm pretty. Moms always said I'm pretty. But they're looking for that male. That male. And unfortunately, you got these males out there who know that all they have to do is tell the girls they're pretty and they can lead them off in the wrong direction. So he's talking about the father. That's one of my little pet peeves here around here in Harrisburg. All these guys 50-something years old like me who run around here hitting on these little 20-something-year-old girls, taking advantage of their fatherlessness. She don't need a sugar daddy. She needs a daddy. That's just my little pet peeve standing up on my, you know, soapbox. She doesn't need a sugar daddy. She needs a daddy, and that's what she's looking for. It's not that she hasn't been told that she's pretty by her mother. In many cases, they have. But they're looking for that male to do what happened when the man, go all the way back to Genesis, when he looked at what God brought him and said, wow, you are bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And then he told her who she was. And I'm telling you, this may sound sexist. I don't mean it at all. But from what I experienced with my wife, that's what she was looking for. The one who would say, you're bone of my bone. You are flesh of my flesh. You are my wombed man. I know Pastor Chris silly. Changes everything, doesn't it? Now, if you got some guy out there playing with that, then now you can see why. I know why there's so much male bashing, because guys have done that for years and years, and millions of women have heard those words or that expression, and she thought it was real. She thought he meant it. So, yeah, we have a generation of those who are like Whoopi Goldberg. All I know from my dad is that my story from my dad is that you own your own. The message from my mother is, I'm with you. I'm here. Yeah. So God's raising us up. I wanted to call this an open door for fathers. And even for those, glad you brought up that point, even those that don't have any spiritual, any unnatural children, you still, as a man, it's an open door. It's an open door. This is a season of an open door for us to return this particular aspect of God into the mindset of our world, of our family, of our friends. And don't be ashamed of who God created us to be, guys. I'll say this specifically to the guys in the room. Don't back off of who God created you to be. I know that people struggle with those things that are just totally male about us. Sometimes, you know, some of the things that we do and say and behave, it is strange to women, to our wives, to our sisters, to our aunts, to our nieces. It is strange. It is foreign, because we compartmentalize things and we organize things in our mind, and sometimes we come off as being very unfeeling and uncaring and insensitive. I know it does. And sometimes we are. We're totally clueless as to what's going on with our wives or our sisters or our daughters. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that we have a presence. We have a presence that must be there. Because it'll be missed if it's missed. In our stumbling, bumbling way sometimes, us guys, I know we're clueless. My wife has to, you know, clue me in on things happening. Because, ladies, y'all live in a different world from us. You really do. And sometimes we are insensitive to it. But still, God wanted that presence. He wanted that presence. Lord, we thank you for this word and for this time of being able to share and talk together. Thank you, Lord God, for getting your point across of the importance of both male and female. But today, since it's Father's Day, thank you, Lord God. And we say it today, just like in the song you gave me. We thank you, Daddy. It's where it all ultimately points back to anyway today. Would you do that now, Lord? Thank you. Thank you for the blue that's in the sky. Thank you for my heartbeat. Thank you for every breath that I take, the things I take for granted. Thank you, Lord God, for the breeze. Yes, Lord God. Thank you for the consistency of the sun coming up every morning and setting at night. Thank you, Lord God, for just the consistency that you provide. We don't look at it. We're going to stop looking at it as just the mundane, the routine. And we're not going to take it for granted. Lord, you are faithful, Daddy. You're a faithful Father. And we thank you. Yes, Lord. Lord, as we go forth through the rest of this day, thank you for your grace, your favor, your protection on every single one that's here. May we have an awesome day today as we're just celebrating fatherhood and ultimately celebrating you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.